Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Marlene Marino. Marlene is a fabulous photographer out of New York City, originally from Virginia. Marlene does lots of commercial fashion work, beautiful photography on film, a lot of work for Urban Outfitters all around the planet. Marlene has a very unique way of conveying femininity and making these beautiful images on film. She's a 100% film shooter. She's a fabulous photographer and an all-around great gal. So we look forward to speaking here with Marlene Marino today on Inside Analog Photo. Marlene, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program today to feature yourself and this fabulous photography you're doing. It's beautiful.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm really happy that you asked me to be on your program. It's a really wonderful program.
Oh, thank you very much. You're doing advertising, fashion, but it's more than that. So let everybody know what Marlene's up to, and then we'll get into this a little deeper.
Well, I'm doing those things that you say, but I'm coming from more of a documentary background. That's really what I love. And I feel like documentary historically was a space where you could just do a bunch of different things. I'm always shooting, and then I use mediums as a way to just explore different things that I want to say while still giving the client what he or she needs or wants. I try with each of my assignments to inject some of my personal feelings and as much subtext as possible on issues that I'm thinking about. And sometimes it's just fun and I'm not really thinking about anything. But I think that the images are maybe more than just fashion images per se, because I just invest a lot of myself in them.
Exactly. And I think if people look at your body of work, and if they go to your website, that's marlenemarino.com, and actually look at what you're up to here, they can tell that even though a lot of it is fashion and advertising work, and there's some editorial stuff as well, but none of it looks like what you would dub as normal fashion or glamour or catalog work. Like you said, this all looks editorial.
Oh, thank you. I think with the fashion stuff, I'm not going for glamour specifically. which I know is the mainstay and what's popular, but I'm just not really excited about that. I try and capture something in women that's more organic and even innocent. It's very collaborative with my models, and the photos happen really spontaneously. I think it's probably partly autobiographical for me as well, the way that I shoot, capturing certain things that appeal to me, because I've had images of myself taken in the past very long time ago, and I really loved those images. I sort of held on to that because I thought that they opened something up. They weren't fashion images, but they opened up something for me, and I try and sort of recapture that in the images that I take. So it's a little bit autobiographical.
What I find real interesting about your work, and if you look at it, I guess people know that you do a large volume of work for Urban Outfitters and shoot lots of stuff for these people. And a lot of your content, I would say, what, 95% of it is female. You have a way of conveying femininity in these models. Something's different conveyed when they look at your images compared to, I don't know, maybe a guy was shooting, I don't know what. But there's something different about it that resonates female, sexy, something.
Thanks. Yeah, a lot of people say that, and I'm really glad that it does, because I think that it's some sort of quest for me, for lack of a better description, in search of a kind of purity, I think. The reason that I'm not so much into the glossy is because I think the everyday is so interesting. I go into these women's lives not knowing them beforehand, and we just quickly become friends, I guess. It's really like such a fascinating process for me to sort of break down those images that people feel like they should give. A lot of people pose in certain ways for the camera, and it's really interesting for me to break through that and just have it be very as natural as possible. Of course, they're posing to some degree, but we're doing it together, so it feels really collaborative and even playful. I love that process. And because they're women, I relate to them very well, and I think that that really helps in them feeling at ease. I think it's fun for everyone.
I think that's one of the things here with the Urban Outfitters work, and everything you've been shooting here is it doesn't look like anything's really contrived. Looks like that it's okay, well, this woman's wearing this piece of clothing in her own little personal environment, and this is what we're selling, and this is what it looks like.
Oh, good. That's how it's meant to look.
It's working out great. It's fabulous. So, Marlene, tell me, when did you want to take pictures? What made you want to go out and be a photographer?
I think I wanted to do it from when I was very, very small, but I didn't know what that was. But I just remember I was always fascinated by images. I would get hypnotized by the television, by just any moving image. And I think eventually I would like to make films. I don't know if I'll ever get there, but it is sort of in the back of my mind as something that I would love to do because I could elaborate even more. But yeah, I've always been fascinated by images. And I didn't really start doing it until I was about 19 or so. I moved to Spain when I was 19 and I took an old Nikon camera with me, which was just mechanical, and I taught myself how to use it there. And that was sort of the breaking point for me because I was really inspired by certain documentary photographers from the 70s. I just came across their work somehow, and I was so inspired by it that I wanted to do that. I was looking for something to do, some form of expression. I felt like I really needed that. And I wasn't so good at drawing or art in that sense, and photography was something that I could do. I also really love that I could capture everyday things and that it didn't have to be precious like art can be. So, I don't know, I just felt really at home with that. So I started shooting when I was in Europe, and that's how it began.
Now, you moved to Europe in when, the 90s?
Exactly. When I was 19, it was in the early 90s, and I traveled around a bit.
So let's talk about your continued use of films. So when you trudged off to Europe to have fun, you said you had your Nikon. Things have progressed in technology. You find most people that are shooting the type of work that you're doing, probably more than 99% are shooting digital, and you shoot film. I don't know if there's a tie to this at all, but it's interesting that at least Urban Outfitter people promote the use of film and sell cool, goofy cameras. And I don't know if that's because of their clientele base is all grown up digital and film is a unique thing for younger people because, wow, look at this trippy, magical process. But tell me about your love of film and why you continue to shoot an analog process over shooting digital.
Yeah, I just love it. I think it's really just that. It's pretty simple. I learned with analog, and I've developed techniques that I really love. I think that analog is beautiful and that you have amazing texture and grain, and you can be really versatile. Of course, it's not as easy as it used to be because you don't have a lot of the same materials around, but I think that there are people that still really want to work with me in that way, meaning like printers and labs and whatnot, and I don't know, I just find it fascinating. I'm a hands-on, tactile, analog person. I don't love the computer. I mean, I actually am in front of my computer a lot, but I just feel like you can get these things with film, so why wouldn't you? I mean, with digital, you're recreating what you can get with film. And actually, people used to say that digital is cheaper, but it's really not. With all of the post-production, it's actually more expensive. Plus, you need a digital tech on the set. I also really like privacy, and I just like to work intimately with my assistant and, of course, the client, but not with a huge digital setup. I think it distracts from the picture-taking. I think a lot of clients even agree with that, that people tend to hover around the screen and they're just like already editing. It just takes away from the magic of the moment for me, which is really slightly accidental, but I always know that I'm going to get the image. And I think when there's too much hovering, I think it takes away from that moment where you're going to get something really special.
Working with models and people, that once you sort of get into a groove and you get somebody relaxed and you're given a bit of direction, things flow, but people shoot, chimp, 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 shoot, chimp, chimp, look, talking, and it sort of breaks that cohesiveness. It kills the moment.
It's really unnecessary, too, because from my experience, most clients are happiest when they get the stuff that I'm the happiest with, and I'm the happiest when I get the stuff that you've just described. I mean, my images are about intimacy, and I work with clients around me. It's not a question of needing to be totally in private. I just think that what you're saying, it like breaks up what's happening, and the models start to become more self-aware, I guess, as opposed to just getting lost in the moment and having fun and just being very natural for me. But I also just love, love, love film. I love it. And I miss chemicals. I miss all of that stuff. My dream was always to have a dark room and just to like live in some village somewhere and just print all day. I might still do that one day because I love that idea so much.
So have you actually had a chance to spend some time in the dark room and print?
Yeah, I used to print a lot, but it's just not so practical in New York City because you can't really have your own dark room. I mean, you can if you're rich, I suppose, and you have like an extra space there. I guess I could do it, but yeah, I have spent time in the dark room. I love it. When I'm in the dark room, it's so timeless and the clock is ticking and it gets really expensive in New York City. So one day I'll have a dark room because I would ideally like to print all of my work.
So really, what brought you to New York City? Why did you leave Virginia and go to New York?
I left Virginia because I needed to get out of Virginia. And New York was this very alluring city that was not that far away. It was like a huge jump from Virginia, but it's only like a 5.5-6 hour drive. So it was attainable, but, you know, I'll say it was a very huge change. But yeah, once I got here, I never looked back.
So tell me how living in Europe and shooting in Europe when you first started doing photography helped form what you're doing today. Was there any influence in European people, i.e. women, because you shoot a lot of women? Has there been any influence in these lifestyles in different regions of the world where you're shooting applied to your photography? Or to you when you're shooting, it doesn't matter if you're in Israel, China, Japan, Russia, Memphis, wherever.
I just did something in Nashville. I didn't send that to you, but it's on my website.
I saw that, believe.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of a personal project, which was also a fashion story.
You know what's tricky? Is that picture, believe. Right next door is a building that says ranch dressing or something on the side.
Oh, really? You can see that in the picture?
No, not in your picture, but I've been there.
You've been to Nashville to that spot?
Oh, yeah.
You know what's really funny is that when I was taking that picture, she was wearing a black veil, but she wasn't wearing anything underneath. And she felt really protected because it was nighttime, and I had to turn my high beams on from the truck I was driving. And just as I did that, this huge Dolly Parton tour van drove into the lot, and she was completely exposed. It was really funny, just because she was so shy. And the driver was hilarious. He, like, honked. I love Nashville. I kind of want to live there one day.
I like Tennessee for some reason myself. I don't know why.
Yeah, there's something really strange and wonderful about it. I get the feeling that all of the homeless people there are amazing musicians that just couldn't make it for some reason.
Well, it's just people are different in the South.
Yeah, I haven't really been to much of the South, but yeah, I think I like the South.
It is cool.
Yeah, it is. Just quickly about Europe, I think it's just that I'm really inspired by global themes somehow. And I love traveling to all these places in the world because I'm just very curious about different cultures. I'm lucky to have these opportunities to go there. That's pretty much what I set out to do because I'm very fascinated by the world. And I have the wanderlust. I love to go anywhere and everywhere. So I hope to see everything before I die, hopefully.
Do you find that women are different across different regions of the world when you're shooting models? Do you find that maybe in Europe and Eastern Europe where you've shot at, they're more relaxed and not as uptight?
Well, I find they're definitely different in different parts of the world. Maybe sometimes, yes, in Europe, they are more relaxed. In Japan, for example, I've done quite a few nudes in Japan. I think it really depends on the woman because I think Japan can be really conservative. The Japanese are very shy, so I think that that can be conservative in some senses. But then I've come across girls that I photographed there who are not shy at all. So I think there's a lot of cultural differences everywhere. And to me, it's fascinating to understand them because I think that women have power in different ways in different parts of the world. And it's sort of curious to me, like how women in the Middle East are a certain way and women in South America. Like I was in Peru last Christmas and I found Peru extremely conservative. They're very Catholic in Lima, but then they have this talk show host who's on late at night and he's so controversial and he's running for president. So it's such a strange place. He's open about being bisexual and he had this woman on the show while I was there who's a prostitute who's running for congresswoman. And this is really extremely conservative place in terms of nudity and that kind of thing. But yet they wear these extremely tight dresses that are very revealing. I guess I'm a little bit off the subject, but I'm just curious about dealing with people in different environments. Fascinating to me. I think women can be more relaxed in Europe, but it really depends on the girl, probably.
I think you're right. And I think especially in South America, the way they treat women is terrible.
The way they treat women? Like machismo?
Yeah, I just think that they're treated more as like a personal possession.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad's Colombian, so I know about that. I think that there is the tendency for that sort of role play, like masculine, feminine. And women in the U.S. get treated that way, too. It's just different. I think fashion's that a lot. So even though I photograph women nude, I'm trying to do that from a very personal perspective where it's very much about them and the moment that we create together. It's like in search of something for me on a personal level and maybe for them. I don't know if they're conscious or not about that stuff. But yeah, for me, it's definitely in search of something. And I think maybe like a pure femininity or something. And I think that even though they're nude, it's not that we have to break any taboos today, but I think we do still live in a very conservative country. And I'm just trying to show that as very natural.
Well, it's what's interesting, if you look at your images that have nudes in them, they're not sexual. Yeah. They don't portray sex. They're natural. It's just, this is what it is, man. I mean, it's a human.
Yeah, did you see the images of the Russian girls by chance in the shower?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of innocent and playful and even goofy in a way, those images. I mean, but they're beautiful. The girls are beautiful and they're not meant to be sexy. They're just meant to be like very natural and feminine. I mean, I think it's interesting because that kind of thing is really banned in culture a lot. And it's almost like the women have to be like a certain way to be sexy, like to look kind of vacant or something. I like these pictures because I feel like they're alive. I feel the energy of the women is in them. And
well, definitely. And they look like it's natural. They're family, they're friends. There's no deep meanings in it. It's just natural. They're not trying to convey some message. The images are just fun and they're cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're not over-prepared or planned even a lot of times. I mean, yes, plan to some degree, like I'm going to go there, but they're not overprepared. Most of the times I just show the girls some of my work and we talk about it a little bit, but they feel comfortable with me, I think, and we just take it from there. Yeah, I'm glad that they look that way because that is how they are. I'm the one who probably thinks about it, not them. It's about femininity and female representation a little bit, but I don't think about that stuff too much. I just do what feels natural and I feel like it's a really organic process coming kind of a little bit from the unconscious. So, yeah, we just have fun. Glad that you like them.
They're beautiful. So tell me about this whole deal with Urban Outfitters. This is a pretty good gig. Did they see your images that you've been creating previously? Because what's interesting, if you look at your body of work, it just flows from one thing to another, and your style, it just carries across each piece. And when you go into the Urban Outfitters, it doesn't even look like it's fashion catalog work. Everything just flows beautifully.
Oh, thank you. I think that Urban Outfitters saw my work somewhere. I think it was in Purple Magazine. It was like a series of color nudes that I did that actually aren't on my website currently. But yeah, I think they saw those and they really liked them. And they called me because they thought it was a fresh perspective and they wanted to do that for the catalog. And they're really great about working with photographers and letting them kind of do their thing. Hopefully they'll remain that way. But yeah, they've been really good about just giving me the freedom to explore my vision and just to have fun. They like to have fun. They're a really great group of people. They really are fun to work with.
Like I said, the stuff's great. So tell me, Marlene, about what are you shooting with? Let's get gearhead here for a minute. Because photographers always like to talk about gear, I think, to a point. So what are you shooting with?
I shoot with a Nikon. I started with a Nikon. And I love Nikon. I don't even know why I love them, but I do.
It's all 35.
It's all 35. I mean, I did experiment with medium format for a while, but I really like ease. I don't like things when they're hard, so I don't like to carry heavy equipment. And the only other thing that I would love to do, I guess, is large format, which just contradicts what I said, but it's just way too expensive. And it's a very different way of shooting. I think if I were doing large format, I would be focusing on more like details, more like sort of very personal still lifes that are like environmental settings, something like that. But yeah, I love 35 because I can just take it with me anywhere I go, and it's easy and it's non-obtrusive because I travel so much and I don't want to have to carry a bunch of heavy equipment. But I also think that it gives good results depending on the aesthetic that you like.
So here's the question. I mean, your work's printed in magazines. It's printed in catalogs. They probably use it in advertising. Okay, so with the current technology with film and digital scanning, why do you need medium format? And yes, you can get a little different aesthetic from a 4x5, 8x10, okay, if you're going to do super huge prints or, like you said, the sort of detail. But it gets to a point of ease of capture. I think especially when you're shooting people, if you have a small camera, well, it just tends to be more relaxing, right?
I think so, yeah. I think big cameras can be intimidating. But the reason is the grain, because with 35, you still get much more pronounced grain. Obviously, with large format, you can't even see the grain. It's invisible. So I think that's the distinction.
Well, of course, with the grain and tonality, yes. But really, I think you shoot film and your clients that have you shoot film is because of the way that the light is captured organically. Because the photons hit organic chemicals and it's all created in an organic aspect. There's no digital ones and zeros. There's no Bayer patterns. There's no red and green blocks. So I think that the look of film is accentuated and looks better in 35. And you start going medium and larger format, you lose that aspect of the analog capture.
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's an aesthetic choice. I think that some people like less grain. I'm not one of those people. I like to see it. I like the images to have a certain density. And I think 35 is really perfect for. I think you can blow it up pretty large. I don't know. I've never really enlarged my images bigger than 20x24, so I don't know what they would do. But I'll bet they would look interesting regardless. And I just feel like 35 is much easier to experiment with.
So on the Nikon deal, is it an FM3, an F6? What are you shooting?
F100.
Fabulous. You like shallow depth of field, or you're shooting wide open? Tell me about what you like when it comes to glass.
Yeah, there's an 85 that I like and a 60, which I think is a 1.4. That's a beautiful lens. And sometimes I really like zoom lenses because they give me a lot of flexibility while shooting. I don't like to take time to switch lenses. It's all about the moment for me, and every expression really counts because within that there's something very genuine and there is the precise thing that I'm looking for. So I don't want to be distracted by switching lenses if I don't have to. So in some cases, I really love zoom. Like the 2.8 zoom is really nice. I like that lens. I love the 70 to 200 for some things. That's when that can give really great shallow depth of field, but it's a little heavier. Sometimes I just shoot with my contacts. I have a Contax 35mm, so I kind of have like a couple of cameras around my neck and I just vary them when I feel like it. And that's fun for me because then I have like a little bit of a different mood intermixed in the edit, because I think each camera gives a little bit of a different feel, and it's fun for me to do that because it just gives me what I need.
So do you always have a camera with you? Do you always leave a building with a camera?
I do more so when I'm traveling than in New York City. That's why I like to travel, because I really like the unfamiliar. And I do leave with a camera kind of a lot, but I don't do it every day in New York, because New York is where I've lived for so long. And I don't know, it's really more like my HQ. A lot of people take pictures of their friends out. I don't do that kind of work. I'm really fixed on just the women and very intimate social settings or like interesting landscapes in different parts of the world. So I'm not so much about snapshots of friends. Although I like some of that work a lot, it's just not my thing. I mean, I guess if I were to photograph in New York City, I would probably want to abstract it because you've seen it so much. But yeah, definitely when I travel, I always have my camera with me.
Well, I think what's so cool about that is, like you said, you're true to your style and what you're shooting. It's not about shooting everything, it's about shooting what you want.
Yeah, exactly. I really forsake a lot of images. Yeah, I don't just snap away. It's not that interesting to me. But I do love some of the 1970s documentaries, photographers who did that. I guess they were probably following their instinct for what they wanted to see. But I mean, I love the sort of cataloging approach. It's just that I'm doing what feels right to me.
I mean, it's like people that shoot street, right? They walk around New York City with a rangefinder Leica and they're shooting just whatever you would see. You turn the corner and boom, there's a picture. Okay, well, that's cool and all. And people love that. I don't know if it's my cup either. So I respect them for what they're shooting, but hey, it's all into what you're into. Follow your own vision. I think that's the thing too, is that people need to realize that this is what I'm digging and just stick to it.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I think that would raise the bar a little bit.
Photographers, especially ones that are newer photographers, and they're trying to capture so much stuff, and there's so many things that you could take pictures of. I mean, you can put a macro lens on your camera and walk around a neighborhood somewhere and not leave for a month. So it's a matter of trying to figure out, I think, what you like and stick to your guns, and you've been able to basically do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a process of figuring that out, and I think that for young photographers, they have to probably shoot a lot. It's really hard, I think, to figure out what it is that you want to say or what appeals to you intuitively, even, because we're just so flooded with images and like media. And I love TV and I love popular culture, so I'm not criticizing.
There's a lot of crap, though. Come on.
There's a lot of crap. I mean, there is so much crap. But within that crap, there's really quality stuff, which is so exciting to me. And part of the reason why I work with magazines and in fashion even is, number one, it's practical. But also, I've always wanted to reach a large audience, and I feel like those things can reach a large audience. So, for example, if I were asked to join a gallery, which I would like to exhibit my work more, I wouldn't want to forsake the commercial work, because I've gotten a lot of really amazing emails from people who have seen my work, just like very random people who saw my work somewhere, and it's just really nice to know that it's reaching people and that they like it. But I didn't grow up with the whole art thing, but I did grow up with a lot of popular culture. And I think there were some real gems when I was growing up. Work that was made by really interesting people who are working in the mainstream, either for money or just because they were getting a kick out of it. So, yeah, I like that stuff a lot, too.
Film, what do you like to capture on? You must have a couple favorites.
Yeah, I love Tri-X. I'd say that's my favorite black and white film. And I love Fuji for color. I love the vibrancy of it. I think Kodak is nice too, but it's more pastel and less contrasty, I think. I like it too, but I think Fuji is my favorite.
Now, your black and white work, do you typically like to expose at box speed?
No, I push and pull. I experiment, and I also experiment with different chemicals for the look that I like.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I might try experimenting with box speed sometime, too. I haven't really done too much of it. I'm curious to see what results it would give after all the pushing and pulling, because it's precarious sometimes when you're pushing and pulling. I am, like, just sort of worried sometimes, but it always works out great. Now, I'm not saying that it works out great accidentally. I work with great people, and I'm pretty precise. But, yeah, I might experiment.
So, do you have women now that have been contacting you to want to have them do a portraiture series, maybe even personal work?
Yeah, I have people contacting me. It's really nice. They reach me usually by email.
That's great to see that people are seeing your work and then saying, hey, I'd love to have you shoot me. Come over to my house.
Yeah, and that's where I like to shoot people, in their homes, because I think that is the most interesting for me and maybe like for them too, if not immediately, certainly down the line. Sometimes they say, oh, no, my place is such a mess. Actually, the Russia pictures were captured in girls' homes. And for me, it's just wonderful because you see these details of their existence. And for them, I think that they feel more natural there. So yeah, that's really fun.
Do you think this style of work that you're shooting that's really bringing out the feminine aspects of women, do you think that this can be done by males? That guys can shoot this, or is this a girl thing? Because I look at a lot of work, a lot of stuff, talk to a lot of people, but there's only been like two people that I know that have been able to capture what you're doing. You and Amy Postal.
Oh, I don't know her. I'll have to look her up. That's great.
Well, her stuff, though, is different, because your stuff, it's more pure, I think. Hers has maybe a little more sexier tinge to it. Yours is just natural. It's wholesome. But I haven't found a lot of people to do that. And I asked this question when I talked to wedding photographers. Do you think females would be a better wedding photographer than a man? I guess that's the question I ask you. Do you think that with you primarily shooting women, that you're doing a better job, and women can do a better job taking pictures of women than men do?
I think in some senses, yes, because we are each other's mirror. I think that women feel a little bit more comfortable with other women in terms of nudity and sexuality. But I also think it depends on the women and it depends on the photographer, because I think there's women as well who really like a certain kind of look. Not all women really like a sort of more wholesome, pure approach. Or maybe they do, but they don't readily admit it or something. I don't know. But I think if you look in magazines, there's a lot of female photographers that shoot really hard images. So I want to say yes to your answer, but I think it also depends on the people. It really happens to be what I love, and I feel like it's a reflection of myself in some ways. or sort of autobiographically speaking. And I feel like we create the moment and they get really comfortable somehow. I think women tend to act a certain way sometimes when a man is pointing a camera. It's more of a conditioned thing, probably. But yeah, I think it's a lot of things.
I mean, really, too, I think that with the way that you're portraying women is very natural. They're just girls. It's cool. But like you said, some of the hard stuff is really pushed, and I think it's more even male-wise that let's put her in 6-inch stilettos and a bunch of sexy stuff, and it flips at 180.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I mean, some people might see that as empowered. I don't see it that way. I mean, there are some fashion images that have stilettos and whatnot that I like. Like, for example, I really liked Helmut Newton's work, but I think that that was coming from a very personal perspective from him. There's some sort of fashion photography where women are portrayed in these very sexualized ways by men, but it's a very artistic approach from the male photographer, and it's their thing. So I'm just going for the very specific approach that is very organic to me, which is to get this like kind of sweetness, which all of the women that I photographed have. I think it's a pretty organic thing in human nature.
Your stuff's almost like organic boudoir, almost. It's different. Like you said, it's organic, it's natural, it's not, I'm going to dress up and contrive something and make something out of something. This is just, this is who the subject is, and that's it.
Yeah, it can be challenging when I have really high fashion stuff to work with. Like the story that I shot in Israel for a magazine called Purple, I had to work with these couture pieces of clothing. But in that sense, I felt like I tried to create a story, a narrative, like the women are in the desert. I don't know if you had a chance to see those.
I did. They're beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Do you think that those have the same quality that you're describing?
Which quality? The organic?
The organic, female, feminine.
They're very feminine, and they're in such a dark environment, it's almost like another planet.
Oh, thanks. I was going for that other planet thing.
It puts them in a different environment, so it makes them stand out even more so.
Oh, good. Yeah, that area is biblical, actually. It's in the Dead Sea, and those are sand dunes. It looks like rock, but they're sand dunes. And that's where so much stuff allegedly happened there. And that particular area is where the myth of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, they allegedly were there. So I was sort of playing with that a little bit because the women are wearing these Givenchy clothes and I wanted it to look a little bit like they were from that time. So yeah, there's a little bit of a subtext there.
No, they're great. There's definitely a story buried in there.
Yeah, I found the girls there and they're just so beautiful and so perfect for that environment. I was really lucky. It was so hot that day. It was just a little bit unbearable, but you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah, it was very, very warm. It was like about 110 degrees and very blinding from the sun. And I'm really grateful for my good exposures because could have been really blown out.
So exposures, are you metering through camera? Are you using a hand meter? How do you expose?
I use a spot meter mostly. Sometimes I do in-camera metering if I'm alone and if I'm rushed, but I like to check it with a spot meter when I can.
And you're metering for somebody's face, skin tone?
Skin tone, definitely. And I just try and keep it as precise as possible. It can be a little bit challenging when I'm shooting quickly, but I go for skin tone. I want as much of a rich tonal range as possible, but I don't mind it when the highlights blow a little bit. I kind of like that. I think you see that a bit in my work.
It's okay, especially these ones here in Israel, in the Dead Sea area. The stuff really didn't even blow there. There's lots of tonality. It's very rich.
It's rich, yeah. But I think in some of my other works, the highlights blow a little bit. But I sometimes like that because it gives it even more of a sort of ethereal quality. It depends on the image. It doesn't go with every image. So I think about that a little bit, yeah. But it can give like that kind of really pretty, even more innocence somehow.
Well, the stuff in the Dead Sea area, these pictures, they're euphoric almost.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that because, I mean, for me, it was so magnificent to be in this really historic region. So I felt like the presence of all of that history. So it was the fact that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found right around there. And there was just all of this really amazing stuff that happened in that area. So I'm glad that you say they're euphoric because I really felt that while being there. There's like some sort of presence that was very mysterious to me.
No, they're great. So what do you want to do next? What do you want to shoot? What do you want to do that you haven't got to do yet? What is on your list of things that Marlene wants to go conquer?
Well, I just want to keep traveling. There's a lot of places that I haven't been to. I want to go to Africa. There's places in Southeast Asia that I really want to go to. I'm really interested in the Caucasus states as well. There's just so much to explore and so many stories to tell. I'm also working on a book now, but I can't talk about it yet. but it'll be just like a book of my work, which is really exciting because then I can travel even more. I want to just go places and stay for periods of time and just find women that I want to photograph and stories that I want to tell. Probably my life's ambition. I don't need much more than that. I mean, ideally, one day I'd like to make films, but I don't even know if it's that important to me because I love photography so much.
Well, here's the thing. When you're out doing these shoots, you should have like a little Canon or even a Nikon Super 8 camera. Pop some black and white in that and just burn off 20 seconds here, 30 seconds here. It'd be pretty cool.
I think I'll try that. Thanks.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, I think now there's like the Canon digital camera that captures video so well, but I feel like it's a little bit of a distraction because when I'm shooting photography, I'm so in the moment. And I feel like if I break to shoot film, I'll be missing something in photography. So I have to find the balance. But maybe if it's not the Canon, if it's something else, like what you're saying.
I was with a couple of friends. We did a shoot in Las Vegas at this guy that used to be the lieutenant governor of Nevada. And this guy's mansion had the goofiest stuff and old signs from old casinos. And it was really a trippy place. We were doing this model shoot and we're shooting. And then I just pick the Super 8 up and burn off 15 or 20 seconds and just drop it on a strap. Go back to doing what you're doing. It doesn't really interrupt the flow. Amazing stuff from Super 8. Pretty fun.
One that you recommend?
Yeah, the Canon 310. The 310 XL you can buy for like $50 on eBay.
Oh, wow.
Pop some Super 8 in it. Kodak's got their Vision 3 unbelievable color motion picture film. State-of-the-art technology in Super 8. Way cool. Yeah.
You can still get that stuff processed?
Yep. You send it to a place in LA. And even in New York City, they'll process it and scan it and stick it on a hard drive and say, here you go, here's your video. And it's shot on film. Very unique. As a matter of fact, there was, I wouldn't say it like an Urban Outfitters, but a company that makes sort of hipster clothing in Australia. I'll dig it up and email it to you, but they did this crazy shoot on Super 8. They made a commercial and it's unbelievable.
Oh, I'd love to know. I've just been contacted by several Australian people about features. So somehow they've seen my work over there. Oh. They're so nice, Australians. I love them.
They are.
I sublet my apartment a lot when I travel just because it helps me to do that. And I really like renting to Australians. I mean, they're such travelers, probably because they're so isolated from the rest of the world where they are geographically, but they're just so nice, really down-to-earth people. So I'd love to check that out, the Canon.
Yeah, I could just see some of these things, especially with these locations you're going in places all over the world. Super 8 cartridge only holds like 3.5 minutes. So you could burn through and say, okay, well, this shoot today, I'm only going to use one cartridge and just pick up a little bit here and there. Throw some music on it. You'd have a cool little behind-the-scenes stuff, at least of what you were doing, maybe.
Yeah, now I'm excited about trying that. Yeah, I've really been wanting to do moving images since I was probably about 4. That was probably like my first interest somehow, but it seemed like such a distraction. But this sounds easy, so I'm going to try it.
It is easy, and these cameras meter in camera, or you can get ones that are a little more advanced. All the stuff is from the 70s, so you just find a good piece of gear that's not been beat up and throw a film in it and put batteries and squeeze. Go.
Yeah, it must be beautiful.
Well, Super 8 is so small that really you can just put the thing at almost an infinity and you don't even have to really focus. You don't do anything. You just point and squeeze. And it makes these movies. It's pretty neat. So I think it would go cool with the work you're doing because with these places, with you being in Japan or being in Russia, and to be able to grab some of that stuff as sort of a little memoir slash behind the scenes of what you're shooting would be pretty neat.
Yeah, I think it sounds really great because it's non-obtrusive as well. Sometimes I'm shooting places where I shouldn't be, so I have to be kind of careful.
Well, that's why you can get away with that with your F-100. And you don't have 20 people with you. You can just roll. Go.
Yeah, just act like a tourist. I have had my film taken away from me twice.
So. Really?
Yeah, once in Russia and once in Cuba. But actually in Cuba, they didn't take it away, but then it mysteriously disappeared.
So the film that was in your body at the time, they took it. Thank you.
In Russia, they took it. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I was photographing this girl, and she was walking past them, and I wanted to get them in the picture behind her. She was wearing this funny scarf that said the American Dream. She was Russian, and it was her scarf. She was very beautiful, very sexy. She's actually in that series, posing with the television set. So anyhow, so she was just walking past them, and I was taking pictures, and one of them, for some reason, decided he didn't want to be in the picture. I think it's just he was just a jerk, but you get that over there sometimes.
Well, who's going to argue with some KGB guy, right? Give me your film. No problem, comrade.
He was so intimidating, and we didn't want to be disappeared.
Well, that's the thing. Even though they say that it's a democracy and all this other stuff, they'll still drag you off, and they'll never find you again.
I've heard stories about that part of the world that are really scary. I mean, actually, they're having so many issues with journalists being violently accosted. Yeah, you don't want to play around with stuff like that. My friend was going to ask him for his badge number because she speaks Russian. And she was so mad at herself for not doing it because he was so scary that we didn't dare talk back. But then I'm glad she didn't, because it probably just would have turned into something weird.
Well, here's the thing. I bet you if it was a Russian photographer, they wouldn't even have bothered to shoot some military police guys anyway. They already knew better.
Yeah, I found that in Cuba, too. They tried to take my film. I actually wouldn't give it to them in Cuba because I kind of felt like it was going to be fine. I wanted to have the whole experience of what's going to happen if I don't give them my film. So I had the full experience of being taken down to this precinct, and some guy was called in at 4 a.m. because I was shooting transvestites late at night. The cop was in one picture because he was harassing them, so I guess he really didn't want to be photographed. And then he just kept calling down to the station on his walkie-talkie. He was checking out my friend, who's Cuban, and trying to see if he had any marks on his record. And I just kept hearing negativo back. It was really funny and surreal, but nothing happened. Once I got down to the station, waiting for like 2.5 hours or something, this military came in and interviewed me, and he was like, oh, fine, you can go home. Yeah, I think that in places like that, the cops are really told one thing. I think that they're conditioned. They're told this can't happen, but the tourist is not necessarily told these same things because they don't want that image for the country.
Well, it makes you think of Midnight Express.
I haven't seen Midnight Express. Is that good?
It's a movie from the 70s. It's very stark. I'm sure you'll find it enlightening.
I love all movies from the 70s, usually.
Trust me, you'll dig it. It's very harsh.
My situation wasn't harsh in Cuba. I mean, I guess it could have been, but I think because my mom's from there, I don't know. I shouldn't have put myself in that situation, to be honest, but I just feel like they weren't going to do anything because it would be just too much hassle. And it was when Bush was in the White House, so I thought they're probably not going to do anything to me with that hothead in the White House. Because I kept saying, take me to the American Embassy, and I was drawing a crowd and everything. It was pretty theatrical.
So, Marlene, tell us, where can we look at your fabulous work, your website? You have a blog. Where can they go see what you're up to? Because this is really beautiful photography.
Well, they can definitely check out my website, which is just myname.com. I have a lot of new work coming out in January and February in Purple Magazine. You can buy in New York and L.A. Not so much in the other parts of the country, but they commission me a lot. And then I shoot a lot for European magazines, probably because of the nudity. I have a catalog coming out with Urban Outfitters. I think it's going to be released both in January and February. And that was really fun because we shot in Israel. And I think it comes through in some of the pictures. There's like little details on locations. But I think a lot of people will probably see that because that goes out so many people, which is amazing.
It's just great exposure on your work. And I think that they're very smart to have you shooting for them because I think your photography is portraying their product and their lifestyle, what they're trying to sell, very well. It's a great match.
They're very smart and they're very wonderful. They're very kind. I did a catalog in Japan for them, which was amazing, and they told me that they send that out a lot just for promotional things. So it's a really nice collaboration, I think.
As long as they keep paying you, it's great.
Yeah, money talks. I'm just kidding. I mean, it does a little bit, but it's not my main focus, but yeah, I definitely need it.
Well, it's one of those required evils. You got to have dough or you can't live, so.
You got to have dough or you can't live. But I'm always so happy when I meet a client who wants to communicate something different and who wants to just let me do what I do, knowing that it'll get a good reception, because it usually does. I mean, usually girls relate to my stuff, so I think it's just nice because so many clients are very, very corporate and are just shooting masses of images, just wanting everything to look a certain way, which they feel sells, but I don't think it does. And I think if it does, it sells on a low denominator.
When are we going to see one of your workshops?
Oh, I don't know. That would be great.
This is cool stuff. And I do really appreciate you joining us today. Like I said, this is fabulous work. People really need to look at your stuff and look at it carefully because it's beautiful. Really great photography.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you so much.
Well, there you go. The fabulous Marlene Marino. Pretty cool stuff. Beautiful photography. Unbelievable conveyance of femininity in her work. Beautiful fashion photography. She can really convey that look and what they're trying to get across with one of her major photography clients, Urban Outfitters. She does fabulous work. Marlene has shot everywhere around the planet, and she's an all-around great gal. Definitely check out her website over at www.MarleneMarino. That's MarleneMarino.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.